welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 174. How are we all doing? Saturday too, day of rest. She laughably said. Have we had a day of rest? No. No, we haven't. But then when do we ever? So hello, Kim. Hello, Jonathan. Oh, Jonathan, you've got some serious explaining to do. hello, Debsy QCQ. What's the matter with Carbon Copy Cloner? Let me know. What's it doing to you, Kim? Love Carbon Copy Cloner. Actually, that's a good place to start. One of the people that I watch their videos on YouTube did a live stream. And she'd had a bit of a problem. And her problem was she needed help organising her email, as many of us do from time to time. So she hired this person who was like an organisational specialist. So far, so good. And this person said to her, yeah, what you need, some folders and some rules, and I can set all of that up for you. Hello, Paul. So she said, fine, and she hired this person. Her mail was in Gmail and she had two-factor turned on. So what she needed to do was when the person tried to log in, she would get a code on her phone and she would have to give them that code. So that happened and she did and all was well. The woman started organising the email when all of a sudden the account got locked. So they didn't like the kind of Google itself did not like the activity on there, despite the fact that two-factor was turned on and had worked. They didn't like the fact, probably the location. So the person in question lives in place A and doubtless the person doing the organisation lives in place B. They were probably logged in at the same time and the person in place B started deleting emails. So that must have automatically flagged it up at Google. And she got locked out of her own account. Well, that is catastrophic, apparently. No backup of files that she's been working on for 4 months and needs. No access to her email whatsoever. And I don't know if this has ever happened to anybody, but it doesn't end well. As Mike and I know, there's no way to shift Google. Now, but you know, she's a big YouTuber and they still don't want to know. So the question becomes, do you back up the documents you have in the cloud? Or are the documents you have in the cloud already a backup of the stuff you have locally? Let me know. And what do you do about backing up email and your calendars and your contacts? When was the last time they were backed up? Let me know. So Kim says she thought she had it all set up. The hard drive is using about 50% of 1 terabyte. Carbon Copy Cloner filled up my SSD to 1 terabyte. I thought Carbon Copy Cloner only backed up new things. Okay, there's lots of settings inside Carbon Copy Cloner. So probably what's happening is one of two particular things. One is the thing that I have turned on for all my iCloud backups, if you remember, where I have safety net turned on. And safety net means that when it backs up from a Keynote file on iCloud to my local drive, which is my iCloud backup, it doesn't delete any previous backups. So it keeps, for as long as possible, all the previous backups. Which is good, because last night when I showed you that, just as I was going into the DevonThink bit, I showed you a dialog box that said this file's corrupt. The file in question was on Dropbox, and I can only assume Dropbox, it's a package, a Scrivener file is a package. I can only assume that Dropbox had managed to delete something inside the package, which had totally upset Scrivener. But because I have a Scrivener backup system going on, similar but not the same to the iCloud one, I was able to roll it back. I have multiple backups, not just one backup. So the first thing to check is the safety net on. Hello, Pete. So if the safety net's on, that's what's happening. It's filling it up. There is another thing that drives me insane. What's that one actually called? Let's have a look if I can find it. I nuked that. No, I don't see it there. I'd have to get the name for it. But basically what it's doing is it's, again, something that is automatically turned on and it's making iterations. But at this point, it's the hard drive doing it itself. There is an option to turn it off in Carbon Copy Cloner, but it's hidden. And I literally can't remember what it was called. Oh, hello. My tea's arrived. There we go. There's the mat to put it on. Thank you. Are these tea bags the same as the other tea bags?
I've no idea.
Oh.
Why?
They don't taste as nice.
Right, I'll find some better ones.
Well, we can hardly
see
go.
See that, listeners, complaints.
No, I merely asked if they were the same. Oh, we're having treats, are we, lady?
We had a good run around.
Yes.
As you heard.
But Daddy didn't bring me any dentist sticks. No, so I haven't got a dentist stick to give you.
Right.
And I'm blaming Daddy. See how Daddy's only been in the room 30 seconds and he's in trouble twice.
Do you want a dentist stick?
Yes, Daddy, I do, because they're big and I like big treats.
Right, well, you keep entertaining.
I haven't got any sausages either.
Right.
Domestics at McBite's headquarters.
Right, come here. Come here. I've got to go in and do my duty because I've not brought food up.
Right, come on.
Lola.
Oh, cheese sticks. Cheese sticks.
Right.
There we go. Cheese sticks. Oh, dear. I don't back up my mail. It's in Google. Should I back it up? Oh, yes. This girl's got no access and she's trying to run a business. You know, my first thought was, wow, did you not back that up? And then I thought, are you backing it up? Here you go, Lola. Here you go. Come on. Mummy's got some treats. What are these ones? Tripe stick. Tripe stick for Lola. I actually do have a backup going on. Automated, Jonathan. Not as tricky as you would think. What I do is, in my email account... Oh, Lola, look what we've got now. So many treats. Somebody's a very lucky dog. At the root of my real email account, I have every mail that arrives, so I don't filter it. Every mail that arrives, I have sent on to another email address. And the other email address is something stupid. Just a random string of characters at gmail.com. I don't even think I've put my name in it. So I don't get any spam to it. It's a ridiculous email address. Then, belt and braces, I have every mail in that account, the backup account, sent on to a second account. So there are two backups of every mail that makes it through the spam filter on my primary account. That's how I would back up the mail. So, yes, I would definitely do it. Once you've set it up, it's a set it and forget it. So, I would only go in there when I'm looking for it. But I basically have two backups of everything. And that's before we start making backups locally. How about I show you? Would this be a good idea? Do ignore all the crinkling. That's a dog treat. How about I show you how Devonthink could do that? Would that be a good idea? Right. There's a tripe stick for Daddy. Daddy, tripe stick for Daddy. And there's the one for Mummy. Right. And then we need sausages. We have venison sausages.
Talking of email, you know that spam email that we were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
Well, it's come to Munich as well.
Oh, and I knew it was spam, but what I'm saying is it's very clever spam. This spam had like a sad story in it. And obviously you want to get embroiled and read the story about somebody's girlfriend being raped and now this guy can't handle it and all of that. Don't read it, spam. But it got sent to the church. And I said, well, you know, people at the church are going to take pity on things like that. I hope he doesn't click anything. You love the idea about Devonthink doing it. Yep, it could all be done via Devonthink. And what you actually get in Devonthink is pretty good. And of course, what you could do in Devonthink is archive it off by year, or you could have a group in Devonthink for each year. You could tag the mails on the way in. There's quite a lot that you can do with that. Jonathan, do you really need entertainment? Are you grumbling because I've got the sausage? Look at that. You are one spoiled doggy. You really are. Right, shall we open the dentist sticks as well? Because you have had an extra long walk, and obviously. And you're about to blow your coat, aren't you? Because you did that last October very spectacularly. We have the photos to prove it, girl. Even when we went to church and you came in for tea and coffee, what happened? Daddy had to vac up afterwards, didn't he? Was that bad? Oh, yes, but everybody loves you, even though you were bald. You were a little bit of a bald dog for a couple of months, weren't you? But then it all grew back and it was all fine. Right, I will do that then. I will add it to the Devonthink thing. Shall I put that on a post-it note, Mike, or have we actually got anywhere to put it?
Put it on a post-it.
It's always better on a post-it note, I feel. Right, it's going on a post-it note right now. There's another pad of post-it notes I've finished in the last day. Devonthink mail back up. There we go. I wonder if you can do contacts. That's a point. Do you not think so? No, just feed me that sausage, then the tripe stick, and then the dentist stick. You'll be the size of a house. We'll still love you anyway. That's not the point. Right, so last treat there. Contacts can be backed up fairly easily, for me anyway. What I have is an app called Busy Contacts, and Busy Contacts makes it really simple. So I just export the lot from there. You can do that from Google Online. The bit that was the trickiest was probably the calendars. And obviously you need to back up your calendars. Oh, good grief, that's my life. If I lost my calendars, that would be a major calamity, wouldn't it?
My life's work.
Oh, she is very hungry at the minute, isn't she? She's actually sitting. She's not even standing up with that one. She's just eating it where she fell. Oh, dear. You want to have a horn by the phone for those annoying calls. Do you know what I did, Kim, many years ago? I got my own phone line in when I started my business. And you would get the odd call. I think we got some on my mum's phone as well when I was a lot younger, probably about 18, something like that. And mum was saying, like, why are they ringing me? And I'm going to come out of the phone book and stuff. And in the end, she got to the point where she didn't really like answering the phone. So I got myself very cheaply, locally, probably about 50 pence, like a referee's whistle. And I had it by the phone and I said, I'll answer the phone. And when it was this guy doing his heavy breathing and whatever he was doing, I just blew the whistle down the phone. We only got one more call after that. I probably deafened him. But a whistle works just as well as a horn, pro tip. And I actually had it hooked on the phone. So I didn't have to, you know, where is it? It was right next to the phone. And then mum was like, oh, OK. And after a couple of weeks, she said, I'll be all right with the phone now. Oh, that does annoy me. That's so invasive. You know, your phone's in your house and it's like a tunnel through to you. Very, very annoying. Very annoying. Right, let me catch up. Pots and pans out to play down the phone. What about Mocha? Is this for a backup or something? Or do you mean backing up Mocha? There are companies that I would trust to let me back in if there was a calamity. And bizarrely enough, that does include Apple. Many moons ago, you, for some reason, to have something continue to work, you had to enable two-factor. And I did not want to. But I had no choice. I had to enable two-factor. And I went through the process and it didn't work. And I ended up in a bit of a mess with this account. So I rang Apple. And I said, I can give you all of the passwords and the dates and everything. And the credit card on the account, the lot. And they took me through it. And it wasn't that bad in terms of the questions that they asked you. So they actually got me sorted out. And I was grateful for that twofold. One, the fact they actually sorted the problem out I was having at that moment. But it also gave me a bit more confidence that the £1,000 worth of software that I've bought on that account would be safe, that I would get back into it if there was a calamity. Microsoft. She's just shaking her head. No, I'm not full, Dad. Well, you're not having any more. You'll be sick. So have a rest up. Give yourself 5 minutes and it'll expand in your tummy. Microsoft. with Microsoft, you're actually paying for a service. And so because you're paying for a service, they must have your credit card details. So I always think you could prove who you were. Google is the fly in the ointment. Google are very, very strict. I mean, this girl's going through like a recovery process, but it doesn't happen. I don't believe the recovery team even exists. I've never known anybody personally who's lost access to their Google account and got back in. It's that bad. So I would worry. Mocker, in case you can't find your post-it notes. Do you know, I really did think Mocker had possibilities with that. I think it would need to be a little bit more mature. And an iOS app would be fabulous. I could put my 12.9-inch iPad next to me and put my post-it notes on there. Although I have actually been known to put my post-it notes actually stuck on the iPad, which is kind of criminal. But yeah, you've got to think about the things that you would lose access to. It would be catastrophic. I would have thought I'd be okay with Google because I have a G Suite account rather than a Gmail account, which is totally free. And I pay for storage. But it turned out this girl paid for storage too, and she still can't get back in. And she's like got half a million. Well, no, she's probably got about 3 million subscribers on YouTube. And the catastrophic thing, if you take that to its full conclusion, the account that she has that is her Gmail account, I'll admit, it's a free Gmail account. And they said that to her. It's a free service, what do you expect? And quick as a flash, she said, well, if it's free and I can't expect much, why have I got security that the US president would be proud of? And I can't get back into my own account. But, you know, they weren't actually very impressed with that. But when you think about it, in her circumstances, she's using that email address to access her YouTube account. Her YouTube account is her business. I don't know how she's still getting into YouTube. Because if that account is suspended, it's suspended. I really don't know. But she was very, very, very upset. It was hard to watch how upset she was. It's 4 months worth of YouTube videos that's gone up in smoke. So I was thinking, you know, that made me think about my stuff. And I started making notes on a post-it note, which stretched across the entire desk. And it was like, you know, well, do you back up your mail? The answer to that was no. No, I don't. I don't consciously back it up. Obviously, I've got this set it and forget it backup going on in the background. I guess at a minimum, I need to log into those other two accounts and make sure that the mail's still coming through and everything's tickety-boo with it. And a manual backup would not go amiss at least once a week. Then I thought, what else would be catastrophic? And that led me to contacts and calendars. And again, I have backed them up. I've got them backed up to a certain point. But do I religiously back them up every week? No. My contacts don't actually change that much. So what I find myself doing is if I edit a contact or add a contact, then I will back it up. I think my biggest problem with doing backups like that, where do I put them? And I don't particularly have one location that I put the backups. I'm thinking pCloud would be good for that, you know.
Yeah.
Because you could mount it via cloud mounter and just have like your little backup folder. And I'm not particularly using pCloud for much else. But the issues that she was having did put me in a place where I was thinking, in terms of cloud storage, at the moment, we use, I mean, obviously you have to use iCloud to some degree, as far as it'll do it. But mainly I'd kind of put all my eggs in the Google Drive basket. That's fabulous if the, you know, when a mail comes in with a church newsletter, I used to have to do all of this by hand. But what I did when I moved to the Gmail client was I can tap on the attachment, which is a publisher file, which is not, you know, you can't preview it. But I can tap on it and I can save it to the root of my Google Drive, which means when I go into Windows, I open up the root of the Google Drive and there's the file and then I edit it in Windows. That workflow's fabulous. It's a little bit easier to send it back in the iOS client, because when you say attach, you can say attach from Google Drive. Obviously, it's the Gmail client, so it hooks into Google Drive. It's nice and it's seamless. I never thought I would have a Dropbox account with 3 terabytes, because it was obscenely expensive, I thought, for what you got. But when I found the stuff that matters to me that they didn't put in there, that's fabulous of them, you know, they didn't mention the fact you could have timed comments on an audio file, timed comments on a video file. There was lots of things they didn't mention that were fantastic. So the things that mattered to me meant that I ended up with a Dropbox account. And now I'm thinking maybe that needs to go into Dropbox, maybe that needs to go into Dropbox, because if I can't get access to my Google account, that's because Google are literally too big. They are too big to care about any one individual person. But Dropbox, that's the only service they're providing you. So really, you should, I'm not saying you would, but technically, from my experience and from anecdotal evidence, I should be better placed trying to get back into my Dropbox account than I ever would my Google account. So we're at the point now, sadly, the week's over. Could do with another 6 months off, couldn't we, Mike?
Yep.
But I'm at the point of thinking, you know, maybe some of this stuff in Google Drive actually does need to move to Dropbox, or at least be mirrored in Dropbox. Mike assures me he's got things backed up in lots of little different places. I've actually got quite a lot of storage. It's working out what goes where and why that's the issue. And I'm sure that's the issue everybody else faces as well. Kim's going out for a whistle now, I presume. You don't agree with Google being free. They get paid for advertising and they ram it down your throat. I totally agree there. Absolutely. But in their mind, that's their excuse. I mean, some of the excuses they threw at this girl was like, you know, this person is clearly very upset because it's their business. We're not just talking. I mean, and when you think about what she's lost access to, she actually herself said, you know, I said to them, why can't you look in Google Photos and I'll come on a video call with you and you'll know it's me. And I thought, and you've lost access to your Google Photos as well. Oh, it's too serious to contemplate, isn't it? But there is 24/7 support if you are on an enterprise plan. And it wouldn't be that much. It would probably cost you less than $50 a year. It would be comparable with kind of Office. To the point I actually said to Mike, maybe I need to give them money. I don't actually have to pay. I'm grandfathered on the free account. And, you know, you're not suddenly going to think, oh, I think I'll pay them this month. You know, I think I'll start paying them, because it's exactly the same service. I wouldn't be getting anything different apart from the support, clearly. I don't know what I would do with that. I think it's probably better, no matter what, to do some kind of manual backups. If you're going to use it and you're going to use it for free, take the money that you're not paying them. And because it's enterprise level, I don't get the adverts. So it's not a Gmail account that I see adverts in. I don't see any adverts, but I'm still not paying them. And it's just literally, I was grandfathered onto it. I would pay for it. I guess they don't need to know that. But you're right, it's not free. They have your data. And I think there's a moral obligation that if you're providing a service, at least let people get back into it. I'm thinking the reason, well, because it was at that moment, the only explanation is that it was locked because they felt that this other person accessing it was dodgy. Which I wondered, if I moved a lot of mails, would it lock my account? So then I'm like, don't move any mails. Just don't touch them. We actually had that happen with an account. It was only a secondary account. We weren't overly concerned, but getting back into it is such a nightmare. I'm going to need to reevaluate the cloud thing. So I need to sort that out. Oh, time capsule machine stopped working on two machines. Oh no, Pete. I would never rely on anything like that, to be honest. Time machine. I mean, it should have worked for my keynote, and I don't know why it didn't. It should definitely have worked. On other files, you know, other files I could roll back, just not the one that actually managed to nuke itself. But, you know, what I lost, luckily, it was after I'd presented it. You know, if that had happened at 9:05, then I wouldn't have had another copy, because all of the backups were kind of replicas of what I'd already got. That would have been catastrophic. But it did force me into coming up with a solution. And then, as you know, despite the fact I had a solution, it didn't involve the cloud. And I needed it to involve the cloud. So I then had to come up with, you know, 2.0, where there is a local backup, many, many, many local backups. And a backup to the cloud as well. And of course, you can't back it up to the cloud because it's a Keynote file. And that was where the disk images came in. You are pushed to extremes when there are constraints on what you can do. You know, I can't back up to the cloud because it's more than 171 meg. Who chooses 171 meg as a cutoff? 150, 200, even 180. But 171. I didn't understand that to start with. Oh, you need to sort that out. Poor Pete, while he's off his feet. Gives you plenty of time to think about it, though. I don't think you can have too many backups because people think of backups as being equal, and they're not. So I've got a backup that makes a zip file. That's easier to get into than a backup that backs up to the cloud.
Can I just interrupt?
If you like.
Nothing to do with this conversation.
He's smiling and laughing. This won't end well.
You know the shopping order for tonight?
The one that they keep whipping things off?
Yes.
Go on.
I've got a Tesco's order for tomorrow night.
With the stuff that's missing?
With the stuff that's missing now in the basket.
This was... It was mainly fruit that was missing, and I said, I'll do without it. And Mike said, no, you won't, although I've got last night's to eat, haven't I? I'll have that during the show. Not this show, obviously the next show, because I've got two and a half.
And the Magnums are on offer.
Oh!
Yeah.
But that solves the problem for the minimum order then, doesn't it?
Exactly.
We'll discuss this during a song shortly. What time have you got? What's the last time you can add stuff?
I don't know, but I've already got stuff in the basket.
It doesn't mean you can't add more stuff in the basket, does it?
About 11 o'clock.
Oh, that's all right then. We'll have plenty of time to discuss
it. Let's check out.
Grab that slot, Mike. It's like playing whack-a-mole. What was your final backup setup? I probably don't need your degree of redundancy, but need something reliable. Right. Do you mean for a drive or do you mean for individual data? Because I've got a whole different thing going on. The main backup strategy for all drives on my machine is that every drive has a twin and it's backed up to that on a schedule. So as long as its twin is mounted or is available to it, every drive gets backed up on a schedule. I never move things. So take like the recordings of, because I did manage to make a recording, didn't I? Didn't manage to change screen size, but I did manage to make a recording. The recording from last night's After Hours only exists in one place at the point I press stop. I never move that somewhere. I would always copy it. So there would be, I would copy that to my backup drive. And then once it's on the backup drive, I would move it to the twin of the backup drive, which is, so I've got a drive called MacBytes and I have a backup drive, MacBytes backup. And one is a twin of the other. Yes, that's right, Lola. Just like that. So there are times I've tried moving a file and it fails halfway through and you're left with a broken file. So I never move a file until I've got another copy of it. But overnight, that drive would twin itself to the other one. Most of the time I run that manually after I've put some files on it. So the main backup strategy I have is that every drive has a twin. In terms of the hard drive, so the main hard drive of the computer, I have three external drives that are 1 terabyte SSDs and they're mounted in a rotor. So every 3 days it's backed up to the next one, the next one, the next one. Which is probably nearest to what you've got with your time machine. The thing with a time machine backup is it's not a full backup. People think, oh, I've got time machine, that's fine. It's not a full backup. I use Carbon Copy Cloner. There are two that do the job. I started with SuperDuper and it was great. And then one of the OS iterations meant there was a bit of a blip creating images. So I moved to Carbon Copy Cloner while they sorted themselves out. But I actually ended up staying with Carbon Copy Cloner because not only does it make images of hard drives, but it will also allow you to create disk images and do backups that aren't images that are actually just duplicate this. And the key feature for me is the safety net. Most of the time, the safety net is off. The safety net, as I've just discussed with Kim, The safety net enables you to have a backup that was made yesterday and then do another backup today, but the backup of yesterday will stay there. I had never actually had that turned on because I wanted these drives to be complete clones of each other. When the main hard drive breaks, which, you know, it will, you take that out of the equation, you are left with a backup drive, but you pick another empty one up off the shelf and then you clone the backup drive to the new drive. So I do need them to be identical. I don't want to pick up the backup drive and find it's got 200 gig of additional backups on it that I then have to manually move. So they're twins of each other. But I have much more granular backups of things like the iCloud files because there was a catastrophic data loss. So although they are backed up every day in the image of the main hard drive, they're also backed up independently of that. And as was proved last night, I had at least 3 years ago set up a backup system. It put a backup system in place for Scrivener. I'd totally forgotten I'd even set this backup system up, much less how it worked. What I can tell you is at the end of every month, the backups for that month are moved to the trash. They are backed up somewhere else, but from the main place, they are unceremoniously slung in the rubbish. Carbon copy cloner. There you go. I will get you the link. It's from Bombitch Software. There we go. There is I did do a demo of it. I did, and it wasn't that many weeks ago either. It was to do with the iCloud recovery thing, so I would have touched on it 2 weeks running, or possibly like with a gap in between, one or 2 weeks gap in between, but nothing more than that. But I find Carbon Copy Cloner can do everything that I need. So the other thing that I really appreciate with it, because there's one called Arc that backs up to S3, Amazon S3. But you have to pay per seat and it's hideously expensive. This one is one license and you can run it on every Mac in the house, which I appreciate very much so. In fact, they've called it a household license, which would indicate that different people could use it. But I just appreciate I can put it on every Mac. Definitely worth looking at. When you get the new house, you need to rent me and Mike to come and sort all the tech out. Oh, tech holiday. That'd be fabulous. I would recommend that one. I would steer away from Super Duper because it doesn't do as much. It does the imaging, but it doesn't do everything that Carbon Copy Cloner does. How much is it now? Don't recall it being that expensive. £31.15. But obviously I qualify for upgrades, which are 50% off. So I pay about £15 whenever there's an update. Trying to think when the last update was. Let's have a look. We'll go into 1Password where I can get my full history of when are you expected to pay this. I got version 3 in 2012 and I paid £31.14. When I updated, it was £14. And it was 2015, so it was 3 years later. And then I upgraded to 15, and it cost me, because by this stage there was VAT involved, £18. And that was 2017. So I got 3 years out the first one, 2 years out the second, and 3 years so far out of version 5. Isn't it fabulous when you take the time to put the information in and then it's just at your fingertips when you need it? So it's not that expensive and you will always qualify for the next update at half price. It's worth 10 times that in terms of the fact it powers the system for Scrivener. So when I realised there was a calamity as I was trying to open the Scrivener file, literally in the 20 minutes Mike was talking, it was like, I'm going to have to roll this back, which meant revisiting the backup system that I'd put in place. I guess what I really should do, I'll write it on a post-it note for Christmas, is make this like holistic in terms of, you know, I'm only backing up that bit and that bit and that bit. but sometimes a granular backup's handy when it's just the one file you're trying to recover. Today I had an issue. WhatsApp wouldn't run on the computer. I updated it like 3 days ago and I didn't open it. I don't live in WhatsApp, but I use WhatsApp on a Saturday night. And I go into WhatsApp and it's not running. It won't even open. So I then had to go and find an old copy of it off one of my backups. It would be actually far easier to back each individual thing up and then I'm only looking for one thing, not going through an entire backup just for one file. So can I set up Carbon Copy Cloner to auto backup each day like time an A9 would? I'm not sure what the last bit of that meant, but yes. And like Paul says, you can schedule groups of them, which I do. So I have a group. I wanted to back up, I think it was every 15 minutes. When I'm working on a presentation, the first question with the backup is, when you're doing a granular backup, how much are you prepared to lose? And for some people, that's a day. What's she howling at? Some people are prepared to lose a day's work. I'm not. I worked on the principle I would be prepared to lose 15 minutes work. So I went into Carbon Copy Cloner and 15 minutes wasn't an option. The option was an hour. So I set up four of them and put them in a group. But if you want to back up all of your drives at a certain time, then you can just put all of the backup definitions you create into a group and then have them running on a schedule. Time machine. Right. OK. Like time machine. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The more that you have it back up, so if you're backing up every hour, though the backup won't take as long. But, you know, if you're backing up every day, then it's doing a whole day's worth of backup. Something to think about is, if you think about your iPad, unless you deliberately do it, most data that you access on an iPad is in a cloud somewhere. So if you open up Scrivener, although you can have local files, they're probably in Dropbox. And something like Ulysses, they're automatically in iCloud and they're hidden. What else have you got on there? GoodNotes, GoodReader, most of the stuff is in the cloud. So apart from, I actually sat down and did this and thought, right, there's your iPad. It's dead. Now what are you going to do? What's on that iPad that is nowhere else? And I came to the conclusion, nothing. There was nothing on that iPad that wasn't somewhere else. The iPhone was slightly different because of the photos, because I don't have them backing up to the cloud. But again, very, very little. Then I did the same exercise with my Mac. And I thought, well, all the browser tabs are backed up in the browser account. So whether it's my Firefox account, my Vivaldi account or my Google account, you know, they're all in a cloud somewhere. So I don't need to even think about that. Bookmarks are in a cloud. Obviously, all my Ulysses data is in a cloud. All my Scrivener stuff is in Dropbox. All of my actual data is probably in a cloud. But what isn't in a cloud? And what isn't in a cloud, I came up with a few items that were, you know, wouldn't particularly want to lose them. One is downloads. My downloads are downloaded to my downloads folder, which is on the main hard drive. Mike has his downloads folder in OneDrive. So stuff is downloaded and then instantly uploaded to another service. So my downloads folder would be an issue. Anything that I've got on my desktop would be an issue. Apart from the fact that I have desktop and documents turned on in iCloud. So desktop's actually okay. I don't have anything in the documents folder that I'm particularly worried about. But again, that's backed up to iCloud. So I was interested in things that were local that were nowhere else. I have a documents local drive and it has the big files on it. So it's things like I just did a recording today about 5 o'clock and it was only for about 15 minutes. But the file is 10 gig and that's local and that's deliberately local. That would get backed up at night. So the most data I would lose is a day of data. But some of that, I wouldn't even lose that because I've got these manual backup things going on. Given your unresolved issues with iCloud, you need to get off. That's where I'm at with it. I am still in two minds about whether, you know, how many Keynote files, which obviously Keynote files are very important to me. How many Keynote files do I actually need in iCloud, and how many should be somewhere else? And it all depends on how I want to access them. It would be preferable for me to be able to open up a file from 18 months ago when I'm out on an iPad without having to jump through hoops to do it. You know, and by hoops, I mean, they should be on iCloud, but they're not because I don't trust iCloud. So I move them into Dropbox. Now I can't get to Dropbox through there. So I'll have to use the Files app to go to Dropbox to copy that file, to put it into iCloud, to then open it up on here. Depends on how many hoops I want to jump through. But I worked out that I would only lose stuff that was in my downloads folder and not backed up, stuff that was in my local documents folder. And that was about it, because a lot of it has already gone onto the cloud. I think the next step for me is to be thinking about, I mean, we'd chosen a cloud, we'd chosen Google. But we have three times the storage in Dropbox that we do Google. And Dropbox is virtually the standard. And like I say, I think if you lost access to your Dropbox account, they're more inclined to give it you back, because without it, you're not paying them. And we're paying them handsomely, trust me. So I think that might be the next step. But I must admit, the granular backups are to address a particular issue. I much prefer the easy way of doing it, which is just slap an extra drive on and make an image. And preferably, if that could be somewhere else, that would be even better. So if that was in the garage, so it's not in the house in the case of a fire, that would be much better. But it's the things that you put in a cloud and you trust the cloud, because you don't. It's quite difficult to back up everything from a cloud to a local drive, because you've got to pull it all down. You don't want to be, when you've got your files available on demand, you don't want every night to be downloading 800 gig of files to make a backup with. So, yes, chicken. Oh, chicken indeed. She's very frisky today. She's got a big smile on her face.
Kim, I've got your song in, by the way, for the Kentucky Derby.
Fabulous. So you should probably go to Dropbox as opposed to iCloud or Google Drive. Dropbox is more expensive. Now, there's different things, isn't there? And we went for the pro level one. Let me have a look at the price of the medium one. And every time you go to it and you look at Dropbox pricing, they take you to the business one. Why? It drives me mad, that. It's as though they don't actually want personal businesses anymore. But it's pricing for individuals that you actually want to look at. The basic one that's free is useless because it's 2 gig. So with that, you don't get the Smart Sync either. The Plus is $7.99 a month and you get 2 terabytes. So actually, that's not a bad deal, because it's the same price as Google. Now, for me, that's not the same price as Google, because I'm paying twice as much because it's an enterprise account. So I pay $79.99 a year, but I only get 1 terabyte. You give this lot $7.99 a month and you get 2 terabytes. The only thing you don't get on that account that would be of any significance is the full text search, but that's coming soon. It doesn't automatically OCR, so it depends how important that is to you. I hardly ever use that. And your viewer history and stuff. So that middle one isn't actually bad. You've got a 30-day history and you've got priority support. So that middle one's not bad. The reason we went for the professional one, which is 3 terabytes, but more than twice the price, is nothing that they advertise there. It's ridiculous. They do not advertise the features that we were determined to pay for. They don't. We can lock files and watermark files. Yep, we're not interested. You can do remote device, but not interested. None of that interests me in the slightest. They do not list the features that we went to that version for, which is the timed comments on audio and video and all that is associated with that. But so I think you'd get away with the same price. So your only decision is, do you prefer Dropbox or do you prefer Google Drive? Google Drive will give you a certain amount free, so you don't have to do without Google Drive for anything that would make sense to put on Google Drive. It would be just which one you paid for. Is there anything I could do on iCloud that I can't do on Dropbox? That's the only thing that's keeping me on iCloud with a 2 terabyte package at the moment. Do you back up your photos? You're going to need more than the free space if you do your photos. I don't use the Apple Photo thing and start all that synchronising. That way madness lies. I would actively turn that off and have done, trust me. I think, but for your photos, probably not. Now, having said that, there are applications that use iCloud as their sync store, and that's it. So if you use Ulysses, that's its preferred way of synchronising. Can you synchronise with Dropbox? Yes, but you have to go in and tell it to do that because it isn't going to do that automatically. But generally speaking, no. All your photos are on iCloud. Then there's your problem. You can have them backing up to Dropbox, but the way that you access them wouldn't be the same. So you wouldn't have that nice, seamless experience of, you know, the photos are here and then I can put them there, transfer them over there and they're automatically downloaded here. You wouldn't have that. I mean, I can live without it, but your mileage may vary, particularly if you're sharing them with family and friends. So you'd really have to think about your photos. I'm assuming you don't particularly want to be paying Apple $6.99 a month and somebody else $7.99 a month. I mean, I do. And the reason that I do, I back up my iOS devices to iCloud. So I could get away with like a 200 gig plan, but for the fact I'm backing up devices. And I have so many devices, as was ascertained last week when we had a quick peek in my Apple account, I've got a lot of devices. So it would take me more than 200 gig to back them up. So I think of Dropbox as paying $6.99 a month to have every device I own backed up to the cloud. And then I then choose storage elsewhere. Now, obviously, at the moment, I'm paying for 3. I don't see a way around that, given what I do. The Dropbox side of things is not for the space. It's for the functionality of being able to put in place an effective review process. And the more that now we've got Dropbox, the more we're actually using it. So we had a whole process going on with show notes at the point of recording. So at the point that we were recording a show, oh, Jonathan, 133, we have recording notes, which is who's replied to us and what stories we're doing and stuff like that. The things you need at the point of recording. And we were using Google Drive. And it was fine. It did it. But the process to get the file into a Google Drive compatible format was like 8 steps. And I just suddenly came up with this idea of, well, hang on a minute. Let's see what Dropbox can do with it. Oh, my word. It was amazing. And I came to that with let's ask the question of Dropbox because its audio video stuff was so good. I wondered if it could do the same with documents. And clearly it could. So we now, what was better about it was it's literally PDF drag drop done. In Google Drive, it was way longer than that. What's come up now is the fact of, what if you lost access to your Google account? You've got a lot less chance of getting it back. Dropbox is pretty much the standard, so most things support Dropbox. So all of my configuration settings are in Dropbox. You see, the things they don't talk about on there are ridiculous. The other thing is file requests. You can make a folder public and you can tell somebody to stick a file in it. Our deacon can't handle that. I mean, he's not that much older than we are, but he's certainly not technically savvy. So I just created a file request for him and sent it him in, you know, said to Dropbox, send it to him. He got it at the other end. And I remember the first week saying to you, if we get a video file, I'll be amazed. And the next minute, ping,
we did though, didn't we?
You have a video file from the deacon. I thought, good grief, he's managed it. And we've been doing that seamlessly every week for the last 6 months. That's actually pretty amazing. I didn't have to build anything to make that work like an upload folder. I can have multiple file requests. Again, it's not mentioned in the features. I can't really do that with Google Drive. I certainly can't do that with iCloud. The one file Mike and I have ever tried working on together as a collaboration was a presentation file. It was a nightmare. So much so, I had to come up with a whole different system to make it work. We had a master copy of the file, and then we had subcopies that were, this one was delivered on X date and this one was delivered on Y date, just to work around the limitations of iCloud. Let's have a look. App syncing was the biggest issue. You would have your free account though, Paul. So if the syncing you're talking about is like settings, that wouldn't be that much of an issue. I think you could get by with the free one. You could also go for like a cheaper option where you're only paying like, I don't know if it's $1.99 a month now, and just not take the 2 terabyte option. If it came down to it and it would work, then I could possibly make an argument for having both. I think the iCloud one, how many iOS devices have you got that you would back up to iCloud? I mean, I think my count was 14 at the last count. So for me, that's actually worth it. And then choose one of the others and obviously take the best that you can get of the free deals as well. Sometimes they have an offer where they'll give you like a certain amount of storage forever, like pCloud do. Dropbox don't need to do that. Box did once. Box gave 50 gig away. And this was in the days when 500 meg was quite good. And they gave you 50 gig. It was stunning. I think it was 9 years ago they did that. It was the day Apple released the iPhone 4S with Siri on it. And we collected it on about 9 different accounts, didn't we? Because it was so worth having. But not many cloud services do that anymore. And there's a lot of cloud services that are out there, like pCloud, where you pay a flat fee, you know, a one-off, and then you've got this forever. But the thing is, they disappear after 6 months. So you really need to have one that's got legs as well. And Dropbox has the history, but they know it. And they're now pitching themselves for business. And that's why the prices for individuals are just so high. I mean, £16.58 a month. What are we thinking? But it gives us something that we wouldn't otherwise have. And then it's a case of, and you've got 3 gig of storage, so work out what you're going to put in it. And the thing that makes that doable on a machine that only has a 1 terabyte hard drive is the Smart Sync. And this is why they do offer like free versions, but they don't have Smart Sync. So Dropbox actually has 2 methods of sync. There's the Smart Sync thing, and there is the other one, Selective Sync. They are totally different. I did cover that when I did Dropbox. Need to dig that one out. So you've got your desktop, your laptop, an iPad and a mobile. Depending on how much stuff you've got on the iPad and the mobile, it might take you more than 200 gig to back those up. But it is worth backing them up because, you know, when your phone or iPad go, often you just don't get any indication. There was one night and I woke up and I thought, what's wrong with my phone? And it was turned on. So I thought, fine. And I turned the screen off. The next night I woke up and there was like a glow coming off this phone, but like a black glow, as though the screen was on, but it was black and it had just gone for no reason whatsoever. So you take it in and the first thing they say is, have you got a backup? And I said, yes. And I did. I had absolutely everything backed up off it. And then they give you a new phone and then you toddle on home and then you pull the backup down. And if you had to store all of those backups locally, then you're looking at a drive to put that on. There's £150. And then you need a drive to back up that drive. And there's another £150. It's actually easier just to do it in the cloud, because that way you could actually restore it in the store. Use their Wi-Fi to restore it. It would just be a whole lot easier. I mean, it's the kind of thing you hope you'll never need. I've needed it 3 times. Would have been twice, but they had to replace my iPod twice because the repaired one didn't work either. In fact, they gave me a new one and then the new one didn't work. So I ended up with a third one.
So, Kim, are you betting on this horse race? Kentucky Derby. I guess that's like the Grand National to us, isn't it?
Yep, I would have thought so. I've not actually heard of Memory Web. There was one called Shoebox that was pretty decent. Didn't we put Nina on that till it shut down?
Yeah.
But saving in the different formats and stuff sounds amazing. Ah, genealogy thing. There you go. That looks really good. I will leave that there and have a look at it. I can imagine that for the type of stuff you're doing. That photo on that laptop. I've got a picture of my mum and she looks just like that. She was, somebody else was. She was a train bearer I forget the actual term that they use. Something like the May Queen. And she was a train bearer. But, you know, that kind of sepia look to the photo and the fact that the clothes looked virtually identical as well. And I've got one of my granddad when he was a lad playing football. So there was his team shot. And again, it's all like sepia like that. Love looking at those. I think we've got all their photos, haven't we? Because mum got them from Gran.
Yeah.
So we've got all of mum's photos and all of Gran's photos. Gran was brilliant, though. I'll give Gran her due. She would write on the back the year, the month and the year, the date, you know, and what was going on. Mum would never do that. So we're looking at stuff with, what year was that? Not a clue. Can you see that newspaper? What's the headline? Let's have a look. But Gran's is brilliant. It's such a treasure trove of information. Formats for the device. Yeah, it's a clever idea, though. Very clever idea. I mean, the number of times I get the format that drives me mad is a WebP. I hate WebP. You can't drag and drop it. You can't preview it. I mean, it's supposed to be a fantastic format, but it's just too annoying at the moment. It's not supported well enough. And the other one is the high efficiency, which we had great fun with the video, didn't we?
We did.
And the photo's not much better, to be honest. I just wish they'd stick to something that, you know, we can all read and see and use. That would be grand if we could do that. But they do seem to fiddle around with them.
I'm going for number 8.
Is this the horse?
Yeah. South Bend, because it sounds like South Stand where we met.
Oh, bless. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Right, so we're doing 3 lions, are we?
Yes.
Okay.
We've got 4.5 minutes.
Okay.
Going a bit late.
Are we going a bit late?
We're going a bit late.
That'll be because I've overrun with all my segues all day. That's why I try and leave some. Did we have a preference for the second song, or will any version of it do? I've got 4:30 version.
Is that the one that comes up first?
Yep. So yeah. It's the same artist.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Keying up the first 3 songs here. Loving it. Isn't he sweet? He's so sweet. I'm a lucky girl. Which I told him earlier today.
You did.
I did. Oh, you won a free year. That's fantastic. And then got a special discount with a price lock. Oh, Deb, you can't say fairer than that. That's what I'm saying. If you look out for these deals, I mean, when we got, I mean, iCloud's what it is and Dropbox is what it is. There's no wiggle room there, is there? As is Google. But we did get a fantastic deal on pCloud. I think we've got 2 terabytes on there and we'll never pay for it again. They do try and sell you security. You know, why don't you have encryption? But you don't need it if you don't want it. You're not forced to take it, put it like that. So I got a good deal on that one. And the Box one's totally free. So I use Box for one specific job because it's easier. And it keeps this thing totally separate from everywhere else, which is when I send photos to whoever is in charge of the Cotinian photos of the Cotinian events. Yeah, that's not happened in a while. I upload them up to there. And then he pulls them down at the other end in zip files, which means I know exactly where they are. But that's the particular job that I do. But, you know, I've got this 50 gig free and that's what I do with it. So it's always worthwhile keeping your eye out for a special deal, particularly if you're grandfathered. Like me on my Google, but I'm still quite concerned about my Google. It just made me stop and think. And it's not a bad thing every now and then to think to yourself, I need to take another look at the backups I've got running and make sure that they work for now. One thing I could do is have a Hazel rule that watches the downloads folder and duplicates it somewhere else. Could do that. But it's something that you don't want to put in one solution and then another and another and another. You actually need to look at the whole thing. So when I've worked it all out, I'll pop it in a show, which is probably the best idea, isn't it? How are we doing for time, Mike?
150.
We're getting there. It's sport tonight, in case you're wondering.
Bye-bye, baby, baby, goodbye.
This is the Scottish one. Did I see Nina saying she thought it was folk music?
Yeah.
And is she pleased about this or not?
No, got that wrong too.
I'll catch up with the chat when I can get it open. But at the moment, I'm in this bit of chat. Excellent. Right, I wonder what we'll be talking about tomorrow. That's going to depend, isn't it, on what we manage to get done in the day. It's like it's our last day of our laughable holiday. Which, do you know, lockdown holidays are actually fantastic. Haven't had a bad one yet.
No.
But which is just as well, seeing as we'll be staying in lockdown since
one
forever.
Minute.
Okay.
Stand by, studio.
Studio is standing by. Do we have people waiting in the other one?
Yes, we have lots.
They're already chatting away in the WhatsApp.
We have our adoring fans.
We do. So we're going in at 20:02 something.
Something like that.
What are you doing now? Now he's dropping things in the studio.
I've dropped me a hand sanitizer. It's all right.
You see, that's not something that you would have been saying before lockdown.
No.
Well, we'll do an out on here anyway. Ooh, Debbie's working on a blog
25.
Post. Okay. For the moment, it's good night from me.
Good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.